You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Facebook announced plans to combat fake news yesterday. Find out why the new move is stirring up some controversy.
But first, what do you call a person who hangs out with musicians? A drummer.
Yeah. There's nobody to do a rim shot for that
one. I know. It kind of fell flat.
Because the drummers just, they boycott that.
That's why we need drummers. Well, joking aside, how many famous drummers can you name other than Ringo?
Well, I can name a bunch, but our next guest can name a lot more. He tracks down and interviews his favorite drummers for his own podcast. Joe Wong joins us now. He's the host and producer of The Trap Set. It's a podcast that delves into the lives of drummers. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We grew up in Milwaukee, as I understand it. Joe, how did you first get into drumming?
I was 11 years old, and for some reason, I decided to take drum lessons with a guy that lived a couple blocks away from me named John Ruka, and he actually taught lots of the drummers that came out of Milwaukee in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I had previously played piano and clarinet and violin, but the drum set was what really felt like a vehicle for me as far as meeting other musicians and getting into bands and playing rock music at the time.
Now, having been in bands, I know there are drummer jokes like the one we started off with. There are also saxophonist jokes, I guess, that people target me with. But do you think that drummers get
the
attention?
What's a saxophone joke?
Of course, none popped to my mind having said that. But do you think drummers don't get the respect they deserve?
Probably not. Lots of the time, by design, drummers are in the background. They're kind of the foundation of whatever musical group they're playing in. So they're not the people who the majority of the accolades are heaved upon, usually.
And you just completed your 100th episode of The Trap Set. How did you get started with this? You're interviewing drummers, a lot of famous drummers, actually. How did you get that rolling?
Well, I'm a neurotic person by nature, and I wanted to work through my neuroses with other people that had been successful or unsuccessful in the same line of work as myself. So basically, it was an excuse to figure out how other people navigate through life. And just the fact that both of my guests and myself are drummers is almost incidental, but it allows us a certain familiarity from which we can delve into deeper issues right away.
We'll listen to some of the drumming of these drummers in a bit, but you've interviewed some legendary drummers, some of them, I'm guessing, heroes of yours. Are there any anecdotes or stories that stand out to you?
One of the drummers that I thought, if I could ever meet this guy face to face, it would be incredible, was Bernard Purdy. And Bernard was one of the top studio drummers in New York, especially in the 60s and 70s. He played with everyone from Aretha Franklin to Steely Dan to Nina Simone. And he's quite a character. And he's always on in his public performances, but when I showed up to interview him, he had forgotten that we had it set up, and he answered the door in his bathrobe. I think I had woken him up. but we got into a really deep interview about his life and his family and his childhood and his career. And then once in a while, I would just be looking across the room and see this face that I'd watched on YouTube a million times, and it felt very surreal.
Well, here is Purdy playing the song Funky Donkey. You'd send us a list of clips, suggestions. Here's a listen to that. The drumming go there a little bit. Do you talk technique and the finer points of drumming much, or is it mostly more about kind of the story behind their lives and their music?
It's really the story behind their lives and their music. There are plenty of kind of sources that discuss technique, but our goal when we set out to make this show would be to find the kind of universal appeal in these people's live stories. So that's why my co-producer of the show, who's actually a former Madison resident, Chris Karwowski, came on board. And Chris is not a professional musician. He's actually a comedy writer who wrote for The Onion for 12 years and Adult Swim and stuff like that. And he's really good at kind of picking out the stories that resonate with a larger audience than just drummers or musicians.
So what kind of stories did you hear from Purdy in that deep conversation?
Well, he told me about how his father was killed by his best friend over like a gambling disagreement, and then his father's best friend disappeared and probably killed himself. And how he couldn't afford to take drum lessons when he was a young kid, so he would just sit outside the man who taught lots of the drummers in his area and just listen to other kids getting drum lessons, and that's how he kind of got started. And then he told me about how he went to New York and, you know, after being there for a few years, was so successful that he basically had drum kits stored in all of the major studios and would just go from session to session. And then that system has been outmoded, so he kind of walked me through, you know, how he navigated through the leaner times of the 80s and kind of how his career experienced a resurgence when artists such as Beck started sampling him and then eventually using him on records.
Yeah, that sampling issue for drummers, that's a big one here. And we have, of course, Clyde Stubblefield, who's been on the show, a lot of involvement with WPR. I've heard he's the most heavily sampled drummer ever, mainly from his work with James Brown. And he is not always happy about that. He hasn't always received the acclaim, the respect, and the money. Are drummers, in some cases at least, getting money for their samples?
I think now people are compelled to pay for samples, but usually the drummer doesn't get a piece of that unless the drummer has songwriting credit on the songs. There's a stark contrast between who's getting money and who's not. For example, there's one day that I was in Tennessee, and in the morning I interviewed Howard Grimes, who played on all the great High Records label releases, including all the iconic Al Green songs. Then in the afternoon, I spoke to Fluke Holland, who played with Johnny Cash and also with Carl Perkins, especially on like the Blue Suede Shoes session. And, you know, Howard was getting paid just like a session fee, probably under $100 per session at that time, whereas Fluke got cut in on the songwriting for songs like Blue Suede Shoes and the difference between the income that those guys are receiving now is insane.
I'm talking to Joe Wong. He is host and producer of The Trap Set. It's a podcast about the lives of drummers, 100 episodes in now. Here's another listen to a legendary drummer you got to interview. The track is a Grace Jones track. We'll talk about the drummer in just a minute. And that's Sly Dunbar, half of Sly and Robbie, this amazing, legendary reggae and dub and everything else rhythm section. And you got to interview Sly Dunbar, which is pretty amazing. What did you take out of that conversation?
Well, I was really inspired by his attitude. Sly is another of the most recorded drummers in the world. It's been estimated that he's been used on something like 10,000 recordings. Ranging from, you know, Jamaican legends such as Lee Perry to international stars like Bob Dylan and Serge Gainsbourg. And he still goes to the studio every day and probably works 80 hours a week. And he's somebody who's made a good living, but he just keeps going because that's what he loves to do. And that's the thing that I took away most is his, like, inexhaustible work ethic.
Yeah, there's a wide range of work ethics out there. Have you ever interviewed Ginger Baker? He's had some famously difficult interviews over the years, and he has said, "Yeah, I don't practice. I never have practiced regularly."
Yeah, lots of great artists don't practice in the traditional sense, but you know, somebody like Ginger, I'm sure he practiced at some point, and he put in his he put in his 10,000 hours,
right,
if you want to get Gladwellian about it. So, I feel like somebody like Sly Dunbar, his work ethic comes from a place of joy. And then other people, you know, might not have had such a happy childhood, or they have some sort of chip on their shoulder, and that's why they get so great, is through, you know, this inexhaustible drive to prove themselves to somebody or some part of themselves.
I want to give a quick listen to one more track, a very different one here. This is the band Slayer. This is an isolated drum and bass track from the song Angel of Death. And just metal and speed going there. And that just, the few tracks we played, the incredible variety of approaches to drumming. And it sounds like a variety of approaches to living and being a musician and all the drummers you've talked to, Joe.
That's right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Dave Lombardo is really interesting because he came from Cuba. His family were Cuban immigrants, and they kind of were able to smuggle their kids into the United States through the Catholic Church right around the time of the Revolution. And they came over here. His dad moved the family to Los Angeles and became a butcher inside of a grocery store, never learned a word of English. And Dave credits his Cuban upbringing to his incredibly dense rhythmic style, which
wow,
you can hear in his playing. I mean, it's very, very fast and dense, and I think that it has more in common with folks like Tito Puente than it does with, you know, his other metal contemporaries.
Well, Joe, thanks a lot for joining us. We'll point people toward the Trap Set for a lot more stories, and Joe, thanks for taking the time today.
Thanks. Did you think of a saxophone joke yet?
My co-host had one about a chicken that's been run over on the road. The difference between that and a saxophone is the chicken may have been on its way to a gig. So there you go.
Okay.
A saxophone joke. Thanks to Joe Wong, host and producer of The Trap Set, a podcast that looks at the lives of drummers. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.